The following is a Christmas marathon speech to the Sankirtan devotees given on December 25th, 1982 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Very nice to be able to speak to the Sankirtan devotees when they're phoning up. And I was telling them that how I had visited some of the malls, saw some distribution there that they were doing, and I saw some of the other places. And it seemed that the Christmas spirit, or the spirit of giving to Krishna, even just being in America, I think Christmas spirit means the consumer's enthusiasm. That enthusiasm we saw in the devotees. You see, of course, that's always the fact, but even more so was the contrast when the time when at least the people were supposed to be more excited or more joyful. There's supposed to be a euphoria. But instead, people appear to be very frightened, very concerned, very apprehensive, more so than what one normally sees. And discuss that actually the Bhagavatam describes that the basic feature of animal life is fear, bhaya. The animal is all in the jungle. You see any animal, doesn't matter whether it's a tiger, a lion, or whatever, they always have some amount of fear. You see, especially the little animals, they have a lot of fear. They're always looking left and right, always nervous. So now, because here in the West, in spite of having every facility conceivable, Prabhupada said people born in America, they're born with all good qualities. They have all, you know, good looks, good education, good, every facility is given from birth. But it gets covered up because the whole culture is training one, instead of becoming spiritually awakened, to become more and more animalistic. And as the result, in spite of all the best plans, even if they bring down the inflation rate, then up comes the unemployment rate. They bring down this thing, something else will go. So whatever it is, the people are still afraid. Some total result, fear. And fear, even I understood they did a study and they found that the children in the school are growing up with this idea that they may not, that they'll probably die in a nuclear war. Born to die in nuclear, they already have this type of despondency. This type of negative attitude. So, of course, it's not all unfounded. But the solution, they don't have the slightest clue. Actually, when the people become Krishna conscious, when the people become aware of their own eternal nature, Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayanga bhutva bhavita navuya abho ajo nityam saswato purano nahanyate. Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayanga bhutva bhavita navuya ajo nityam saswato purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. That we are unborn, and that we never die. That we are permanent, and when the body dies, we don't die. And that ultimately, Mahavamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatano, Krishna says, all the living entities are my eternal part and parcel. The people, if they just knew that, then what is the reason for being afraid? Bhajahure Mano Sri Nanda Nandana Bhaya Charanara Bindare Durlabho Manava Janamasat Sange Taroho Evavo Sindure. By taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, one becomes fearless. Actually, the devotee just concerned that what will the next life be? As for giving up the life, that we have to give up today or tomorrow, sooner or later we have to give up the body. What will the next body be? So the devotee, along with leading this life, is trying to do welfare for the whole humanity through doing service to Krishna, as well as engages their intelligence, their time, their energy in preparing for their next birth. Which, if Krishna gives his mercy, will be on a planet where Krishna is, to directly serve Krishna. So, today we're reading in the Bhagavatam about how Krishna is surrounded by the cowherd boys, how he's surrounded in rows and rows. And they're all anxiously looking to see Krishna. And Krishna is looking at them. Just for a second, he'll glance and be with them. Those are great souls who are doing, who have done so many austerities and devotional service. Actually, today I read a translation from Acharya Dev's 11th canto, where he describes the determination, direct translation, the determination of a devotee who is being criticized, who is being sometimes captured, sometimes spit on, sometimes insulted by different type of demonic people. And through the whole situation, that person is just thinking that this is not due to the reason I'm suffering is not because there are doing this, inflicting these persecutions on my body. But the real reason I'm suffering is because I identify with this body. If I could actually realize factually, or stop identifying that I am this body, realize that I'm not this body, then there would be no difficulty whatsoever. Difficulty would immediately be over. So, that type of determination to see that any difficulty we're experiencing materially is not due to that particular thing that we're thinking it's due to. That's a superficial cause. The real cause is we identify with our body and mind, therefore it causes anxiety or difficulty to us. So how can the people stop identifying wrongly with their bodies? It's like some type of insanity where a person thinks he's his car. You think you're the car, then you see you're unless they put the petrol in the car, then he's not feeling happy. Right? Petrol, here's gasoline. Gasoline. Nowadays, diesel also. So, here, they're feeding the body with every conceivable impulse. Still they're not satisfied. They go between liberal to conservative, this, that. But the actual solution is there in its perfection simply when we realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. Just as Krishna is surrounded by his friends, he's come here 5,000 years ago just to give us a glimpse of the type of loving exchanges which are ever existing in the spiritual world. Those loving exchanges is what everyone is hankering for. Tonight, Christmas night, they'll try to be having some loving exchanges in their families, exchanging gifts. But all this is simply a dim reflection of what is going on eternally between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna bringing his prasad from the house, some laddus, and sometimes his friends are having just maybe some more simple food, simple prasad. So Krishna, he'll take the simple prasad sometime from the devotee and trade, or they'll be trading back and forth. Sometime Krishna might put one flower in the mouth of his friend as a joke. Sometime they'll be massaging Krishna. He's having so many intimate loving exchanges. So this exchanging of gifts, just like when Krishna was born, at that time, so many great personalities came and offered gifts to Krishna and to his parents, Nanda and Yashoda. When Lord Chaitanya came, the demigods came in disguise and they offered gifts to Krishna, Chaitanya, in his baby form, Satchisuta. You see. So in the same way, of course, we even know that when the empowered incarnation of Krishna, his celebrated son Jesus came, that also there were some wise men came, whatever, and they were also offering some gifts. So nowadays, of course, instead of offering gifts to God, they offer gifts to their kids. The kids offer to the parents, to the relatives, this one, that one. But where is the gift back to God? That's the only thing missing. That actually the relationship, sure, it's a very nice relationship, friend, love, society. But we know that once the holidays are over, then everybody goes back again to the same old situation. Everybody runs back to the malls to return the things they got, get what they really wanted. The desires are not satisfied, but the devotees of Krishna, they're in the spiritual, they're completely satisfied. Completely satisfied with their relationship with Krishna. They're always trying to increase their service, they're trying to improve their dedication in their own way, their service to Krishna. That way there's an ever-increasing desire. But the desire for anything else, any other relationship, that's not there. So this Krishna conscious movement is actually bringing love into the world, bringing Krishna, God, back into the world, and his most sublime and loving way. That's all the mercy of Prabhupada, that he has brought the message of Sisi Nitai Gaur all over the world. Lord Chaitanya's message of love is there for everyone. He didn't consider who's qualified, who's unqualified, who was fit, who was unfit. He accepted everyone. Just if they came forward, they wanted the mercy, he gave. So, the more we can be part of Lord Chaitanya's transcendental tree, distributing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, engaging people in the service of Krishna, we become just fixed up as a permanent branch, leaf, even a bud, whatever you like to call it, even a speck of dust there on the tree. And it says that one part of that tree is capable of doing the part of any other. That ordinary trees can't move, but that tree can move, and therefore it's moving all over the world. And its trees and branches are spreading the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. That's why sometimes you see that book distributor, he's able to express in such a way that he convinced very many big people that he may meet about Krishna consciousness. Or some, even a simple devotee in the temple, different devotees, by their service they're able to touch the heart of people. The one part of the tree can do the part of others. What will bring a person to Krishna consciousness? Simply being fixed up on that tree of Lord Chaitanya, working together in a combined way for spreading the Sankirtan movement, that empowers every devotee. Therefore we offer our respect to all the devotees. We call the devotees as Prabhu, Master. We respect devotees, even though the devotee is not God, but the devotee is most dear to God, so we respect like that. A devotee is very dear to God. We should respect the devotees, and we should also be friends with them. We should love them because they love our Lord. There's a common interest. So thank you very much for your enthusiasm in preaching the movement of Lord Chaitanya. I'd like to hear the results sometime. How do you think when? Are there any questions?
Yeah, how do you feel being a guru, you know, that you have to explain it? I mean, every time you come in to a different time, you have to explain it. Especially, you know, new guy. I mean, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? Well,
you know, maybe it's scary, like, you know, when you see
we don't usually get nervous talking with the new guys. There's a bunch of old guys around that can catch us if we make a mistake. I said, hey. You see, because our responsibility is to repeat the message exactly as we heard it from Srila Prabhupada. We may change the wording, we may change the message media, so that the person can understand. But we're not supposed to add any of our own, you see, any of our own concoctions. But we're supposed to transmit, just like a telephone, a postman, we're supposed to transmit the same message. So you get the same message that Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago. You're getting that same message, you see. In a form that you can understand, but it's not a different message, the same truth. Otherwise, everybody that walks, well, I think, and then people, normally we have people sit around, they talk, and each one says what he thinks. And if somebody agrees with him, then he thinks, this boy, that really intelligent person, he's my friend, he agreed with me. Right? And if someone doesn't agree, they think, well, this guy's a schmuck, he's some kind of a enemy, doesn't agree with me. Last night there was a new person visiting the temple in Murari, and he asked a few questions, and then all of a sudden he started saying, well, I don't agree. Then we were discussing, but then he just said, listen, now I listen to you, now you have to listen to me. I should get equal time. He said, I don't mind. I told him, I don't mind. If you have any inquiries, I'll try to listen to what your ideas are and try to explain to you the version of Krishna. He says, no, I don't want that. You have something to learn from me. I told him, frankly, I don't have anything to learn from you. See, I have my spiritual master. He's already taught me all I need to know. I said, well, that's very close-minded. I said, you can say whatever you like, but the point is that I don't have anything to learn from you. I already have it from Srila Prabhupada and from the Guru Parampara. And if I'm willing to listen to you to help you, it's not like we're advertising. Anybody wants to learn about Krishna, they can come here. But this person, he was insisting on teaching us. So then I told him I didn't have any desire to learn anything new, because I was already learning everything that I needed to know from my spiritual master. He got offended and walked out. So, you can't please everybody.
I mean, that wasn't in a public place.
Public places. I like public places. I like to preach when there's like 5,000-10,000 people in one place. It's very nice. But we get those crowds in India. Now here we don't get those type of crowds. We get a few hundred at a time. I was a little in the New Orleans Rath Yatra. I was trying to think what to say to the New Orleans people that were there this summer, this fall, October. There it's like summer still. But that way we pray before we speak. Mokha koroti ba chalang pangulang gayate giring yat kripa ta mahang bande sigurung dinatariram. You know what that means? Is that I offer the respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. by whose mercy a blind man can see the stars, a lame man can cross over the mountains, and a dumb, deaf and dumb man can become a great orator. So in other words, we pray to the spiritual master and to Krishna that they take over our senses and they just use us like one loudspeaker box. They can just use us to broadcast their message. And that way, if there's many people there, then some of those people must be sincere people, that so many people have come. Usually, you feel that Krishna is taking over the senses. And when you're just speaking to one or two people, it seems to be just like a light bulb that you can dim it or increase it. Depending on the desire of the listener, Krishna also provides that much energy. And depending on the desire of the speaker and the purity of his purpose, that also is able to transmit it. So this way we're trying to always perfect our tuning, the proper mood of surrender to Krishna so that he can use us as instrument. And if we're fortunate enough to have people who are eager to know about the Absolute Truth, who want to know the truth, want to know how to perfect themselves, practice yoga, you see, then that makes a perfect circumstance, situation. Prabhupada wrote a book, or a book was published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which was a discussion between Prabhupada and one Peace Corps worker in India, and the title of the book was Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. You see, if the questions are good, then we can give good answers by Krishna's mercy. If there's nobody coming, then you get nervous, you see. In that sense, you could get nervous. Even then, it's a question of faith. Prabhupada, when he first came in New York, he would come to the program, and there was nobody there. You see, normally if a person goes to a public program and nobody's there, you'd fold up your book and leave. But Prabhupada said, no, we'll go on with the program anyway. And he went on and gave the whole lecture. Even there was nobody there, spoke as if there were thousands of people. That when we announce we're going to have a program, we're going to have a program, whether they come or not. And then he said that there were so many living entities there from other planets that were listening. You see. But of course, Prabhupada could see them. Only a very few fortunate people could actually see those entities. And he can describe eternal pastimes which are going on always in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna in God's kingdom. He has unlimited pastimes, that means activities. And so those activities are recorded in various Vedic literatures, and also the devotee realizes those. And so he can express those as they are occurring, as they're happening, because they're all happening sometime, somewhere. Have you chanted Hare Krishna? 16 rounds. He's Pakka.
Yeah.
You know Pakka? That means mature. Right. How long have you been chanting for? You're at the airport? Haribol! Why did you ask the question whether I was nervous? I look nervous to you?
We have to see devotees, you know, I just walk up to them this day.
So you're going to have a feast with us today. You like to feast on prasad also? It's one of your folk members? Actually, the whole Calcutta airport, about most of all the airline employees, they're all members of ISKCON. See, we distribute books there every day, and some of the airline employees also, when they have like their coffee break, they go out and take the books and help distribute them. In fact, what happened one time was Bhavananda Maharaj forgot that he had 2,000 rupees in his bag. You're not allowed to take rupees out. And so of India, he was leaving for Australia for the marathon just about 3-4 weeks ago. So then he didn't know what to do. They said, you can't take it through. He said, we won't confiscate it. We know it was an accident, but what to do? So he went out, and so here's one of the airline employees that distributed the books. They said, please take the rupees and give it to the devotee, call the thing, give it to the devotees when they come. And everybody there is so, friendly and everything, and that even they didn't, they called up and gave the money, no problem. And actually, Mukunda Maharaj came through and took a picture of one of the mothers that was distributing. It was one of the airline stewardesses on a ground staff that was doing the distribution. Didn't even know that it wasn't a, full-time devotee. So, of course, there you see they're smart that if you become an ISKCON member, then you can stay at the guest houses all over the world. So, as airline employees, they get the IATA tickets, about 15% or something on certain airlines, maybe 10%, or it's very cheap for the airline employees. So they become life members, and then that, because actually their salary is not that great, but then they get the cheap tickets, and then they can stay with our temples. But in the meantime, they get purified. So a lot of times when I'm flying, the captains of the airplanes now in India also, many of them are also the life members. In fact, one pilot called me up. He said, are you Jaya Pataka Swami? He said, yes, I've heard about you. He said that, I wanted to become a life member of ISKCON. He was flying the Boeing, He brought me up in the front. He said, how can I do it? I said, well, you just pay the fee. He said, well, when can I pay? I said, you can pay it any time. Even now? He said, sure. So I don't have my receipt. He said, well, I just happen to have it on me. And right there in the airplane, he became a life member. I think that's the first, in the flight, captain, while he was steering, he became the life member. He says, very auspicious for you because this is your occupation. And now sometimes what happens, I can't get a reservation. I call up one of the captains, say, can you swing a reservation? And apparently the captain gets to keep a seat or two. At least in India, it's like a special privilege they have. So they actually helped out a couple times. I don't know, maybe in Atlanta airport you'll be able to get a lot of members. If they know that they can stay in the guest houses, why not? One lady from became a life member from Belgium, Sabina Airlines, or KLM, whatever, one of the two. And she stayed in our Kathmandu temple. She went trekking in the Himalaya mountains. Nice woman. Yeah, it always takes as soon as I, I see the stewardess or anybody, I immediately tell them, oh yes, in Calcutta, all of the air staff, they all are life members. Because they can, I explain it to them, and then it takes it, they don't know what to say. But it's a good deal for airline employees. Plus, of course, they get purified. It's the main deal. Yes?
When one is confronted with a situation that he's not mature, he tends to think that, this person, this perpetrator is acting against me, but I'm identifying with the mind. What should he think? I mean, what thoughts should go on his mind to counteract that? How should he think?
Well, you can remember these other great devotees who in the same situation were determined not to stop their devotional service. The point is that in spite of all the difficulties, the thought of giving up their devotional service, that never entered their mind. You see, that's the actual thing, is that we become fixed, nishtha, in our devotional service. You see, we become so attached to that devotional service that no matter what, we won't give it up. Actually, Prabhupada, I personally saw this pastime. He explained what attachment and devotion meant. In the Montreal temple, there was there was a son, a devotee there, and mother and father came and told him, "You have to go home." And he said, "No, I don't want to go. I'm going to stay here." And Prabhupada was telling this story. I remember that how, I think even Prabhupada might have been on the Vyasa giving a lecture when this happened. But I heard him give it as an example later on. So the parents, they grabbed their son, one, you know, by one arm, one the other. They just picked him up and said, "You're going with us," you know. And they started dragging. He said, "No, no, I don't want to go, I don't want to go." And he was saying, "No," and they're pulling him, and he's pulling back, and then, you know, they overpowered him, you know. They just were pulling him out the door. Finally got to the door, he grabbed onto the doorknob. And one was pulling his arm, and the other was pulling at his leg. He was right up in the air. "No, no, I won't go, I won't go." Prabhupada said, "That is attachment." Hare Krishna.